Hello and welcome back to your weekly Masonic podcast, Whence Came You, featuring Masonic research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, this is our 98th episode, and I have a good one for you. This week I finally got to sit down and chat with Brother Bill Wojtas about something that isn't very well known to brothers outside the Chicagoland area, something called the Cup of Brotherly Love. Now earlier this week I put a teaser out on Facebook where I linked the post to an article written by Brother Chris Hodapp about the cup in order to give you all a taste. Well, this episode we do in fact have a good talk with Brother Bill. I also want to mention that just recently I was on the Far From Centered podcast as a guest, which I am sure you've heard me mention before, and that podcast is hosted and written by Brother Robert Patrick Lewis. He has written a book, which is called Love Me When I'm Gone. It's a memoir about his time in the Army as a Green Beret, Special Forces, and he asked me to come on the show along with a hilarious guy, Jeff Whitby, who is a comedian out of Los Angeles, and our goal on the episode was to talk a little bit about Genesis 1:27, which, if you're unfamiliar, is God created man in his image. Rob is well-versed in the esoteric thinking, and Jeff was actually a student of Bible school, so he had a great insight. It was a lot of fun, and we talked about everything from the topic of Genesis 1:27 all the way to the far reaches of aliens. It went all over the place, and I think you guys will enjoy it. It went about 2 hours, and you can find the episode right on our blog page at www.wcypodcast.com, or download his podcast right off of iTunes. There's a player on our website which will play that episode, so check that out. And before we get into the interview with Brother Bill, I just need to mention our affiliate Onnit Labs, bringing you top-quality supplements for human optimization. I take 4 of their supplements, and they're great. I use Alpha Brain, and I use Shroom Tech Sport for running, and just some great stuff. Anyway, they also make some great fitness equipment as well. I believe they just rolled out a customer points system as well. If you go to our site, wcypodcast.com, click through our links to Onnit, you'll support the show with your purchases because they send a little bit back to the show in order to keep the tape rolling. Also, they give me a coupon code to give to you guys, which is WCY. And if you use that at checkout, they give you 10% off, which usually covers the shipping and a bit more. And between the sales they have, the coupon, and now customer points, you're going to save some money and be able to help us out here as well. So thanks to everyone, because just this last month, people have been buying some Onnit, and it really does help out. I also picked up a portable recording mic, I wanted to mention that also, and I'll be bringing that with me everywhere to bring you guys quality interviews and content. So you can look forward to Brother James E. Fry's speech on St. John's Day, and a lecture by Christopher Hodapp, which I'll be recording very soon and putting on the show, with any luck. So without any further ado, let's dig right into the interview.
All right, everybody, if you're listening, we're talking with Brother Bill Wojtas today on Whence Came You, and we've talked a little bit in the past about his affiliations and stuff, and I actually met Brother Bill down at the Scottish Rite Valley, Chicago, and over dinner, we started talking and found out that Brother Bill is actually the curator of the Cup of Brotherly Love. So welcome to the show, Brother Bill.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for allowing me the opportunity to be on your show.
No worries, man. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
My name is Bill Wojtas. Like you mentioned, my home lodge is Wayfarers Lodge number 1001 in Evanston, Illinois. I'm the senior warden there right now, and I'm the excellent high priest of Evanston chapter number 144. And I'm also affiliated with Evans Lodge number 524, which is the home of the Cup of Brotherly Love, and I was appointed the curator of the cup a couple years back.
So how did you get into Masonry?
I had always been curious about Freemasonry, but in my 40s, when I turned 40, I was kind of looking to get involved with an organization where I can start giving back to my community and everything. You know, when I was in my 20s, I was in the military, and I served 8 years in the military. And was, you know, serving a higher purpose there. In my 30s, I was just totally dedicated to my company and my career and myself. So when I hit 40, I wanted to be able to give back to my community and start doing something to a greater good with my life. And, I checked out a few places and a few organizations. And you know, I shot an email off to the Grand Lodge of Illinois, and they hooked me up with a few lodges, and you know, I really liked what I saw. I'm not a legacy. You know, my parents were the children of immigrants from Poland, so you know they weren't involved in Freemasonry at all. So I was very new to it, and you know, I liked what I saw. I liked the guys that I had met. You know, I kind of just fell into the fold.
See, that's kind of what happened with me. I had always had an interest, and I just decided I did the same thing. I contacted the Grand Lodge of Illinois, and they put me in touch with somebody. It's really funny. I don't have a family lineage within the fraternity at all myself.
Right.
So we had that in common. So going back to the cup really quick, I had mentioned that it only travels east. So I want to kind of get into this cup a little bit. If you can explain for people who don't know exactly what the Cup of Brotherly Love is. When Bill first told me about it, I was thinking it was some kind of Masonic version of the Holy Grail. But tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I tell you, in its heyday, when the Cup was making its tours around the country after its return, it was billed as the Holy Grail of Freemasonry. And there's a In my research, I found some pretty interesting ties to it. The man who created it, Right Worshipful Brother Norman Hickok, he was a big-time researcher on Arthurian legend. And so when he commissioned the cup, he commissioned it with some very interesting design. And in my research, I found that the designs actually tie it to the legend of the Holy Grail. So it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. The cup itself, though, always traveled east in the hands of a master mason, and it was handed off from one brother to another brother, and in most cases, these brothers were completely unknown to each other. Sure. They were at the right place at the right time, I suppose. And the cup traveled from Evanston, where it left in, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date, but it left around 1926. And traveled completely around the world like that in an east direction from brother to brother, and it returned in 1958. It was in the Holy Land during World War II. It was lost in the Australia-New Zealand area for a while. It was lost actually in the Holy Land for a while during the war. It's had an incredible journey, and it touched some really amazing places. It's been to Baghdad. It has been seen by the Grand Lodge of Iran, the Grand Lodge of Iraq. It's been throughout Israel, Palestine. There are some writings in my research that I found that it traveled through Egypt, but I haven't confirmed that yet, and I'm digging into that. There's been some really amazing stuff written about it, but the stuff was written in the probably late 1950s. It was probably written in like 1959, 1960 area, and the research really wasn't super solid at that time. And so I've actually taken the original presentation and I completely refurbished it with some of these new findings that I have.
Sure.
And I'm also kind of starting to put this all in a book, and I'll probably at some point when I get this research done, publish a book on it.
Yeah, it was just fascinating. And anybody who's listening, you know, it's so incredible to hear Brother Bill talk about this because, like I said, it really was so interesting to me when you had told me that it only traveled east. And I thought, you know, how appropriate that was for something like that. And then you had told me something, and I don't know if you can kind of let everybody know about it, but the U.S. government was involved in its recovery at some point, yes?
Yeah, you know, Brother Hickok was searching for it, and because they had lost touch with it, they had means of keeping in touch with it through post. They provided these sort of self-addressed envelopes with the kit that traveled with it, but at some point they lost touch with it, and that was kind of right around when World War II was going on. And so he got the State Department involved, and so there were some correspondents that went back and forth with the State Department, and the State Department actually found it in the Holy Land and put Evans Lodge back in touch with the people that possessed it and had given them a little bit of a timeline of how it was preparing to move. And then they were able to get in touch with the lodge that had it in their possession after that.
That's just incredible that we actually got that involved in trying to find it. To give everybody an idea how important, you know, something like that is. I mean, it just kind of shows you how much America values antiquity and Freemasonry. So,
I may have said an error. If it was I don't think it was the State Department at the time, but the Department of War or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was called.
Well, so when this cup actually came back to the lodge, was that like something that came to you and then they just approached you to be the curator, or how did that come about?
Well, you know, the cup had kind of turned into a curious little thing that resided in the safe somewhere, and everybody had sort of lost interest in it. You know, the guy who had been doing it for a few years, and he never really did much research on it. You know, he just sort of used the existing presentation and he went around. He did a great job for the few lodges that were interested, but then it just sort of died away. And I heard about this thing and I was like, wow, this thing is totally cool. And I started looking into it, and I had managed to get my hands on some of the primary resources involved with it and look through it. And I thought it was really great. And being a history fanatic like I am, my bachelor's is in history, so I just sort of said, hey, you know, if you don't want to do this anymore, I'll take it on, and, you know, I'll be more than happy to show it. And I did. And I got appointed as the curator of it. And actually, right around that time, a brother from Asheville, North Carolina, out of the Asheville Masonic Temple out there, he found a book on it and called us up. And that was my first trip. I actually took it out to Asheville, North Carolina, and showed it to Mount Harmon Lodge out there a couple of years back. And we've actually been there again since then. And that first time, it was featured on national radio. I got interviewed by one of the hosts of Coast to Coast.
Oh,
on
yeah,
NPR.
Yeah, Coast to Coast AM, yeah. With the cup being in your position now, I mean, how often do lodges, do they contact you, or do you send out information? If a lodge wants to have a presentation done, what do they do?
Well, we do have a Facebook group set up for it, and there's some information on the Evans Lodge website, evanslodge524.org. But, you know, the problem is that lodges in the Chicago area have pretty much lost interest in it, unfortunately, because it's been here for so long. And the sad part is that lodges outside of the Chicago area, you know, unfortunately can't afford to, they just couldn't afford to pay somebody to bring it out there to their lodges and show it. Fortunately enough, I work for an airline, so, you know, I fly for free, and when I can, I'll take it out for a showing if, you know, if I can get out there, there's one thing, you know, because I fly space available, but we've been lucky. You know, the cup has actually got some very powerful travel mojo, I found, and it's worked its wonders on the few trips I've been on, and we managed to make it for the shows and put the shows on a couple of times in the Asheville area, and we've showed it two or three times here in the Chicago area in the last, you know, 3 years. But it needs to be reinvigorated, and we need, you know, I'm trying to get the word out that the cup exists and to try and reinvigorate the interest in it, especially with the new presentation that is totally redone.
Yeah, I think a lot of the listeners here, I mean, we have people in Canada, all over the United States, huge listenerships in Australia and South Africa, all over the place. And
wow.
I think a lot of them will be interested in knowing that this cup still exists. I mean, especially some of the brothers down in Australia, some avid listeners down there, and they'd be very interested in something like that.
Awesome. Because speaking about Australia, the cup spent a lot of time in Australia, and the cup has a travel book with it. And the Australians, when it was there, there's a great amount of hand-drawn art and calligraphy in the book. And some of the most beautiful pieces actually come from the visitation that some of the Grand Lodges in Australia. There's just some amazing artwork in this book that came out of Australia, and also from India. Just some really amazing stuff.
See, and that's what's interesting to me. Like, about a year and a half ago, I got interested in getting a copy of the Jefferson Bible, which a Bible Jefferson put together, and they had scanned every page of it, and they replicated parts of it, and they sent it out. So you can just get a copy of it now, and when you open it, I mean, it smells heavy of ink because of the way that the original was transcribed into it and everything, and his handwritten notes on the side. But one of the neat things that they did was on the Smithsonian website, they did a full-blown scan of the book itself that you can look at digitally. Have you guys ever thought about having like a digital version of it made and then putting it on a web, like giving it its own website and stuff?
Yeah, that is something, because the book is quite old, and the artwork is really beautiful. I'd love to get it scanned. Unfortunately, right now, you know, our lodge doesn't necessarily have the financial means to make any of that happen.
Sure.
You know, we do ask for when we show the book, but you know, I mean that might cover you know, my hotel room or something, you know, at that.
Sure. Well, if any of the, you know, you guys, anybody listening out there wants to help out with this thing, maybe we can get in touch, we can set something up and we can get something rolling in the means of preservation of the documents that go along with this thing would be pretty important. So with the book, you know, going all over the place with the actual cup, I mean, so this thing is full-blown circumnavigated the Earth at least once, yeah?
Yeah, at least once. It has reached thousands and thousands of brothers, hundreds of lodges. Since its return, it did quite a bit of travel in the 1960s. 1970s and a little bit into the 1980s, but it's kind of since faded away since then. You know, but the research that I've done have uncovered some pretty interesting things, especially in the timing of when it was launched. I mean, it was launched literally just a couple of weeks after the Black Tuesday crash of the stock market in 1926, and you know it was. It was consecrated, you know, shortly after the stock market started falling before the big crash. So, you know, here's this amazing article, this article of silver with some beautiful inscriptions on it that has this story of brotherly love and the story of brotherly love that focuses on the idea of relief and charity being launched just a couple of weeks after the crash of the stock market to go around the world and try and bring brothers together in brotherly love. You know, none of that was ever touched on in the original presentation. They just sort of touched on, well, it went here, and then it went here, and then it went here, and, you know, it went here.
There is some irony that goes along with that. Like you're saying, you know, just before the crash, something like that gets launched in just to remind people, you know, of the charity and the relief. And talking to a friend of mine earlier this afternoon, Rob Lewis, and he's, you know, I swear every time, you know, I hear him talk, he will say it at least once that he does not believe in coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. And it's just
right.
Funny to me that, you know, something like that, something that is, it's silver, you know, it's worth probably a good chunk of change, gets launched around like that during, just before the Depression. Nobody steals it. Nobody melts it down. And it goes around just to remind everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. Just incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it was traveling through the Holy Land during World War II. I mean, that's amazing. You know, it made it through the Holy Land, and it's been through the Middle East, and it's just gone through an amazing journey. You know, Brother Kerry Harnash out in Asheville, he's one of the guys that sort of reinvigorated the interest in the cup. And, you know, he and I were talking. He was like, man, you know, this would make an amazing Indiana Jones kind of movie, you know, if you ever put it into, you know, a story.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm going to be doing a little bit of push on this, you know, when this episode comes out, everybody listening, be ready, because I'm going to be sending a lot of links about this thing to a lot of different places, because I want people to understand what this is, what it means to the fraternity. Because Brother Bill's put a lot of work into revamping the presentation. He takes a lot of care in what he's doing with it. And, you know, I really think that if more people even knew it existed, that you would see. I mean, I had no idea it existed, you know, and I've read a lot of stuff. I'm all over the internet. I'm all over every Masonic blog. I'm reading all the time, looking for material for the show and everything else. So, and if I didn't know, there's going to be a lot of dudes who don't know. So I think what we're going to do is we're really going to try to get the word out. And I think with any luck, we'll be able to get some good generated interest, maybe some people saying, hey, you know, maybe we can get a presentation or something. So.
Sure. Brother Chris Hodapp actually has the best page of information on it on his web blog, for his book, Freemasons for Dummies.
Sure.
He's got actually a really good page dedicated to the Cup of Brotherly Love that our website actually even points to. He really put some time into it. But definitely, we would love to show the cup, especially around the Chicago area. If there's lodges interested in Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, you know, we can easily get out there, no problem. We'll take it nationwide if we can work out the arrangement. And we've even thought about, you know, if there's places out in the world that would like to see it, you know, if we can make arrangements, we'd love to show it off. It's an amazing piece of Masonic history.
Yeah, and it really is one of a kind. I mean, I've only seen a couple pictures of it, and when you to talk about it doesn't know justice at all. I mean, this thing is exquisite. It's incredibly breathtaking. I mean, just even, and I've not even been in the same room as it. So I was going to ask you, Chris Hodapp's going to be, I think he's coming to Danville, Illinois next weekend, doing a lecture on symbology. I was going to be down there. I'm wondering, are you guys going to be down there too or no?
Unfortunately, next weekend I'm doing the MS Tour de Farms for the Valley of Chicago Scottish Rite Bike Team. So,
very nice, very nice. You're going to be out there with, you know Frank Winan?
Oh yeah, yep. He's the one who volunteered me for it. So I'm going to be out there putting a few miles on my bike.
There you go. Very cool. Well, so again, if anybody wants to get more information, it's Evans Lodge. And then is it 1002? Is that the right one?
Well, actually, the best thing is just evanston.masonic@comcast.net. That will get me, and then I could steer you to our page and the Facebook page and, everything else to get the information. We even have a PDF brochure for it.
Okay.
Definitely send it out to evanston.masonic@comcast.net, and we will be glad to show off the cup.
Very cool. So anybody out there who's listening, you heard the web address, I'll have links to that also. You know, just a huge thanks to Brother Bill for spending a few minutes with us here to talk about it. And is there anything else that you wanted to add or mention?
Like to thank the brothers out in Asheville, North Carolina, and Brother Kerry Harnash for actually sort of reinvigorating the idea of the cup and getting me reinterested in it. So I'd just like to send a thanks out to those guys for getting this thing back into the spotlight.
Definitely. And my thanks to those guys as well, because just incredible. And I couldn't think of a better brother to be taking care of it and showing it off. So thanks again, Brother Bill, for your time today.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it.
All right.
Next, I want to continue our series on the Midnight Freemason. This week, I wanted to mention that I love this guy's writing because he's a true scholar. And if you're free, he is planning a lecture tour for the Rebus Research Society this summer. Of course, I'm talking about Brother James E. Fry. He's a past Sovereign Prince and current librarian of the Valley of Danville, ancient accepted Scottish Rite, founder of the Rebus Research Society. He sits on two Blue Lodge education committees, as well as a guest lecturer on occultism and esoteric studies in Masonry. He's also a member of the Oak Lawn, York Rite, Medina Shriners, and a Golden Dawn Collegium Spirit of Sanctity. He also works as a counselor with emotionally and behaviorally challenged children. Again, you can find great pieces by James all over the Midnight Freemasons website. His stuff isn't light. It's heavy ideas presented, though, in a way that makes sense. You'll love it. Check it out, www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com. All right, and quickly, I need to mention our Stitcher Smart Radio. Register with that program using promo code WentzKamey with no spaces, and it supports the show with a $1 donation, and you get free streaming content of this show and personalized podcast experience. Additionally, we also have our Android and Apple apps, which let you listen streaming, but with the added bonus of having weekly Masonic wallpapers for your mobile devices, which are free, and also the papers that we read on PDF. The app is $2, and Android users can go through Amazon.com, App Store, and Apple users can download the podcast box and you grab the show or from within that app. If apps aren't your thing, but you do want to help out, we do have a donation button, which is run through PayPal and completely secure. So many thanks to everybody out there who supports the show. It really does make a difference. Next is this week's famous Freemason, John McClane. No, not the John McClane from Die Hard. This is John Bain McClane. Born September 26, 1862, and he passed away on September 25, 1950. John Bain McClane was also, who also spelt his name McLean and McLean at times. The difference there is Mac or with the Mick, MC versus MAC. And he was a journalist, reporter, editor, and publisher. McClane started his first publication, The Canadian Grocer, in 1887. In the early 1900s, he launched The Businessman's Magazine, later changing the name to Busy Man's and then McLean's in 1911. He started The Financial Post in January of 1907 and Chandelier in 1928. His longtime collaborator and associate Horace Talmadge Hunter succeeded McClane as the company president upon the founder's retirement. In 1945, the company was renamed McClane Hunter. Today, McClane Hunter publishes over 30 trade magazines. He was a member of Ionic Lodge No. 25 in Toronto, Canada. That's it for this week. Many thanks to Brother Bill for his time on Father's Day for that interview. Thanks to Rob Lewis for having me on his show, along with the always hilarious but also super smart Jeff Whitby. You can follow Far From Centered Podcast on Twitter at Far From Centered, and you can follow Jeff Whitby at Whitby_Jeff. It's WHITBY_JEFF. And check out Jeff's website, dirtyberet.com. He was also a Green Beret, so he's got some great videos and blog posts up on his website as well. Also, I have to do a shout-out to Brother Juan Sepulveda, our other podcast partner, who produces and hosts an amazing Masonic introspection. That is the Winding Stairs podcast. You can follow him at Winding Stairs33, and you can also check out his handmade white leather aprons. These are astounding and beautiful Masonic aprons. You owe it to yourself to really check it out and pick one up. You can find them on his website at MasonicFundraiser.com. And as far as our show goes, you know that we're on Facebook and on Twitter at WhenceCameU. We're on Google Plus at WCYPodcast at gmail.com and Twitter and Pinterest, Tumblr, MySpace. If it's social, we're there. And that includes our friends at the FreemasonNetwork.org. It's a social networking site just for Masons. They take a while to approve you to be a member of the site, but that's because they're actually checking you out before they let you in. On their site, you can find our blog, WCYPodcast.com, which is mirrored there, as well as the Midnight Freemasons. But that's not all. There are a ton of great things going on over there. So please check out the FreemasonNetwork.org. It's sponsored and paid for by the House of the Temple. So you know it's legit. No worries there. Speaking of the Midnight Freemasons, quickly remember that there are new articles each week. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Over 200 pieces that are new every year. If you're listening to this show on Sunday, it means I accomplished my mission of getting this up in time before I left for the lectures in downstate Illinois. And if you're listening to this actually on the Sunday I released it, I'm probably on a 4-hour drive home late at night. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. As usual, stay on the level. And for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.